We have also a question about parody coming up here in a moment. I gotta go after you about something else, though. So Mary Kay wrote an article about how the Browns plan on moving around the different drills and making sure that we make this as equal as possible in the quarterback competition, quote unquote. Guys, this is the most fun we're about to have in 3 years, and I can't get Lima on board with any of it. You are a stick in the mud about these quarterbacks. You are a stick in the... You said in the meeting after the show yesterday, I brought this up with you, and you just kind of... Did he or did he not, Owen? Just kind of went, meh, whatever. Like, he farted, and it's general direction, and I'm going, wait a minute. For the first time in what feels like ages, we are going to have a... It's going to be a wild camp. I don't know if it's going to be fun after a while, but it's certainly going to be entertaining. I thought you would be just ravenous with the news and possibilities that are coming out for this upcoming training camp. And you are just such a downer over there.
Yeah, it's a third and a fifth round pick.
What's wrong with that?
They don't normally really raise the team's, you know, trajectory.
Half the time,
fifth round picks, I mean, they don't even make the team. So the fact that the Browns took these guys where they took them. They overdrafted one, and the other one seemed like they didn't want to draft at all. And finally,
we spent 2 months on this show, and you were one of the main guys saying take them at two.
Until we actually got real feedback on where they belonged. And we realized that the first round stuff was never accurate. No teams had first round select. Nobody had grades.
There were plenty of teams that had first round grades. There's been plenty of people who said they had first round.
They did.
There was a guest on the afternoon show that said they were a first round guy.
Who was the guest?
I forget who it was. Keith needs to come in here at some point because he's the one who texted me about it.
And what current NFL team do they work for?
It was Scott McLaughlin.
Yeah, it was Scott McLuhan. Thank you. Yes, it was Scott McLuhan.
And again, I ask, what current NFL teams were represented in those conversations?
He doesn't work for those teams, but he knows those teams very well.
So the people inside the league who had a chance to take him multiple times, some of them six times, they said not a first rounder, not a second rounder, not a third rounder, not a fourth rounder. He's a fifth rounder. Now, that was ridiculous. Me and you both agreed he was not a fifth rounder. But where was he in actuality? Because the hype that was built up was all clearly nowhere near accurate.
This is a slippery wizard.
And that's why I did say...
So are we back to conspiracy?
No, I mean, I did say the combine, the conversations that happened at the combine are the ones that are accurate.
It's amazing.
And after the combine... When Albert Breer came back and said, nobody remotely has a first-round grade on him. Okay, that's one guy that said it.
He didn't say nobody.
One guy said it, and then more of that trickled out, and then the proof was in the pudding. We saw how the actual 32 NFL teams operated, including the Browns.
Two slippery wizards.
Including the Browns, who did not take him in the first round. They did not take him in the second round. They said, oh, boy, third rounder, we're taking Dylan Gabriel. That's the guy we're taking. But what about in the fourth round? We're not going to take him. Fifth round, maybe we should actually take him. And one of those rounds, they had two draft picks.
Can I speak for a second here?
Didn't take him. And then, again, they didn't take him again.
You start this off by saying he's a fifth-round pick. Then you said, which we found out, he's not a fifth-round pick. Okay, well, you can't have it both ways. That's a slippery wizard. That's why you are who you are. You start the whole thing, well, Ken, they're a third and fifth-round pick.
Yes.
Okay, maybe the third-round pick was overdrafted. The fifth-round pick is definitely underdrafted. So you can't say they're a third- and fifth-round pick and then turn right around and then say that he's not a fifth-round pick, then turn back around and say that he's a fifth-round pick.
Look,
hold on. And this whole thing, you do this with heights and weights. All of a sudden, Darius Garland, by the end of this week, will be 5'1". You do this all the time. And then you just did it with Shedeur Sanders over the course of time. There was a few who didn't have a first-round grade. Then there was half who didn't have a first-round grade. Then nobody had a first-round grade on Shedeur Sanders.
So
nobody
let me
had
ask
one.
You this.
I have to listen to Albert Breer again. Hopefully Nick and Jonathan are listening. Please ask him.
If the Pittsburgh Steelers drafted quarterbacks in the third and fifth round, you'd be laughing and laughing and laughing
I didn't laugh.
R-O-L-F-O-L-L-O-L-O-L.
I just hope that they didn't work out.
Okay.
Well, I am who I am.
If the Pittsburgh Steelers said they're having a quarterback competition this season, and it's between a third-round draft pick and a fifth-round draft pick, and then whatever bridge quarterback,
but
whatever the Joe Flacco equivalent was.
Not. but it's not.
What would you say? Be honest. What would you say?
What would Ken Carmen say in that situation?
Andrew Filippone about when he had him on
about Shedeur Sanders?
What would you be saying about that? What would you be saying about that as a quarterback competition
for the Steelers?
Yeah,
I would say I'm going to speak softly and carry a big stick. Because I don't want you guys to be the ones laughing
at
the
end. Believe him?
Listen, I showed my ass about Kenny Pickett. I didn't think Kenny Pickett was really good.
I've been with you for 10 minutes now, even during the whole perfect circle thing. But this, I do not believe that you would go, I'm going to speak softly and carry a big stick.
Because he doesn't understand.
You would absolutely laugh in his face. We would kick him in the face.
Did they get a second? Did he call in under a fake name
and you'd go, get out of here. And
fair
then
enough.
You would call
I would call
his
in.
Show.
I would
as
call
Bob
in as
a, and you got, Doylestown right, or right, wherever you're from.
Right. Let me off the canvas for a second. I will admit, I would call, this is going to 20. I just got to let you know right now. I will admit that I would call in as Jim Trafficant, Jim in Ohio, and call the late, great Jim Trafficant. I don't care if he went to jail, still good. I would call in as him and call into the fan in Pittsburgh, and I would make fun of it. Yes, I would. But you didn't specify whether or not the Steelers had a second first-round pick going into next year. That's what I love about this. That's the beauty of it, guys. It's house money, Tone. House money.
So you're bringing in a second first-round pick next year into the quarterback competition for this year?
Yeah, why not? Why not?
Don't forget. Deshaun's actually throwing to the actual receivers right now.
Does anybody who actually knows this team, who are not just Shedeur fanboys or Dylan Gabriel fanboys, or Kenny Pickett has a weird group of fans that will cuss you out at the drop of a hat, by the way. Have you noticed that,
too?
Yeah. Look, tweet about Kenny Pickett, see what they do.
The Pickett fences is what they're called. They're great.
Name anybody who's an actual Browns fan who has full faith and confidence that one of them three guys are going to go on to be a franchise quarterback. But it's house money, so roll the dice. Roll the dice. Hey, Miles stayed for the money. It's on you now. It's on you now. Do I have to get emotional over Myles Garrett's feelings anymore? Nope, don't have to. I can care. I'm not going to say I don't care, but I don't have to because he took the money. Miles could have stayed. He could have been as stingy as possible and said no. I want to go to a contender. Then he took the money. So I don't have to care about that anymore if I don't want to. Joel Batonio, who we just had on, who was wonderful with us, and we encourage you to go to akidagain.org and get involved in his raffle for Cleats for a Cause, which is wonderful. He said he was coming back. All right, Joel's got probably one more year, it seems. I mean, if you're considering retirement, this is the last hurrah, the last rodeo for Joel. So I'd like them to do something good for Joel. But again, in my own emotions, I don't have to care. See, Lavin doesn't even care about this argument anymore. He's looking at other things. I'm sure he's looking at NBA Reddit right now.
No, and they're big games, obviously. We've got the conference finals. No, what I'm saying is, Ken, I think these quarterbacks,
this is ridiculous.
They have to earn excitement. I'm sorry. Third and fifth round picks don't engender a ton of excitement.
You've spent the last 3 years in Brown's prison. That's they do. Yes, they do.
They do?
Yes.
They do.
Yes.
Okay, explain that one to me.
Do I have to?
Yes. Yes.
I have to.
Yeah. How much do the Browns truly love Dylan Gabriel and Shedeur Sanders?
I don't know how much they love him, but I'll tell you what.
They took him in the third round, fifth round.
I'm telling you about...
all that much.
I'm telling you about you and me. I'm talking about you and me and the Browns fans. What would you guys
They are less certain than we are whether these guys are actual NFL starting quarterbacks or franchise quarterbacks.
What would you rather talk about?
Because if they thought they were franchise quarterbacks, they would have certainly taken them way sooner. Doesn't mean they're write-offs. Doesn't mean they can't be good. We've seen Brock Purdy. We know Tom Brady. But if so, I think it's almost going to be more luck than anything if these guys end up being really good.
This new setup makes us look at Owen to see whether or not that he agrees with one or two of us. I hate
Owen.
That.
Both of us are just staring at him the whole time.
It's almost like now we started playing that around the horn. We're waiting for him to give us points as we're yelling at each other. Also, you can't tell a Browns fan that it's not more fun to talk about Dylan Gabriel, third-round pick, Shedeur Sanders, fifth-round pick, than it is to talk about you-know-who over the last 3 years and everything there was to say with that.
It is way more fun to talk about this. With Deshaun, at least we had a guy that in the NFL had been a top-five quarterback, so you could talk yourself into him getting healthy. Obviously never happened, or clearly lost it up top. These guys have deep limitations to their game, which is why they fell where they did. And God, Dylan Gabriel should have fallen even further if you believe people around the league. They can't believe the Browns took him in the third. So that's the difference in talking guys up and hyping guys up.
It's still more fun than what we dealt with. We're not out of Browns prison completely, but we are on maybe Browns house arrest. Where, hey, you know what? I don't got to worry about a commissary anymore. I can go to my own bathroom.
Well, give me.
I can have a little bit of privacy. I don't have to carry a shank onto the yard or suitcase anything now. This is not too bad. I got to wear an ankle bracelet with my quarterbacks. This is all right. It's better than where I was. It's not where I want to be, but it's better than where I was.
Earlier in the segment.
We're in the Browns halfway house.
You used a term to describe this situation. You said house money.
House money.
So that really means you don't truthfully have real expectations that either of these quarterbacks are going to be good.
No. Why should I? Why should I?
I mean, that's fair.
We've had a cavalcade of failure that have come around for the last 25 years. It doesn't mean that I think they're a bunch of losers. I'm not saying that. I don't think they're a bunch of wasted draft picks. Not saying that either.
Man, to take two quarterbacks, it seems like one's going to guaranteed be a wasted draft pick.
When you have four quarterbacks, you may have none. But damn it, one of these guys may or may not be a good player. And that's what I have the next year's picks for. So I'm going to have fun with this. I'm going to have a blast. I'm in a much better mood than I was last year at this time of year.
Is it going to be truly fun in a Ken Carmen way if they just end up looking like third and fifth round picks? That to me won't be fun at all. That'll set up another miserable year.
It'll be more fun. It is much more fun dealing with that and those instead of dealing with whatever this was for the last 3 years, and argue. I remember we got into bickering arguments with people, and you and I were on the same side about a half a football against the Ravens. A half a football against the Ravens. We sat there and argued that. And then the people who had totally lost grip of reality of what that quarterback was, and the people who want us to get in, hey, are you guys going to turn tail and talk about something else now? Or are you guys going to tell the truth about Deshaun Watson now that he's throwing a football and he's out of a walking boot? There are still people who don't have a grip on reality now and think that he's coming back. And I am happy to ignore them and discuss Dylan Gabriel, an adult, to discuss Kenny Pickett, who might be our version of Sam Darnold or Geno Smith or, very ironically, Baker Mayfield or even Shedeur Sanders, who, guys, I know that there's a bunch of nut jobs out there who are cussing out Browns fans left, right, and center, and there's a bunch of people saying, we're not even Browns fans. We're only here because we don't even like the Browns. I know there's a bunch of weirdos out there who are doing that. I like Shedeur Sanders. I think he's a lot of fun, and I'm going to have fun with it. I'm going to have fun with these guys, and if it doesn't work out, great. I'm right back where I started. I don't need to be upset.
I think we'll find out pretty quickly if it's truly fun. Like, if Shedeur, he can get me on board. Absolutely, he can. If he starts dazzling, and I mean really dazzling, rookie minicamp, nobody's dazzling. Get the nonsense. Anybody that was talking about that, oh, these guys all look good, that was nonsense.
You got to get behind
nobody's
this,
nobody's dazzling in rookie minicamp.
You got to get behind this.
But they can earn me getting behind it. They have to be able to earn it. Just me blindly showing faith in a third and fifth round pick.
No.
That's not how this works.
No, no, no.
You've got to earn that kind of support.
No. It's not about them being good. It's about it being more fun. This is way more fun. This is way more fun to debate than anything that we talked about with the other quarterback for 3 years.
That's because you couldn't talk about half of it.
Coming up at 9:45, if you just woke up. So this is great. This is from a person named Brandon, where his handle is saying something about currently the Browns' fifth quarterback, who's technically on the roster but not going to play this year. And he wrote to us, he goes, playoffs 2 years ago wasn't fun. I said that this is way more fun than anything we've dealt with over the last 3 years. The playoffs 2 years ago, yes, but you know Anthony and I know you, Anthony. Or you know Anthony and I know. There we go. Had a lot of coffee, guys. No sleep last night. I'm sorry. You and I both know that we knew that Joe wasn't coming back. And so you're watching this and you're going, boy, these people really love Joe and Joe's great. These folks are going to be so mad when Joe's not back. And so there was this weird, like, this isn't as fun for us as it is for everybody else, because I knew he wasn't coming back. I knew it wasn't going to happen. And I even kind of alluded to it on the air. And said, like, hey, enjoy this time, because this, that, the other. And I don't think anybody wanted to believe me on that. And so it was a nice, fun run, and I love and cherish, because I have to, every moment that the Browns are in the playoffs. But, yeah, it wasn't as much fun because I kind of knew that we were having to go back. We were going to be forced to go back. That we got this little taste. We were sitting on the roof drinking the three beers in Shawshank Redemption after tarring the roof on the final day. That's what we got to do with Joe Flacco's time. And then it was right back in the hole. I was being obtuse, and we went right back in the hole. And that's what last year was. So that part sucked. This, hey, it's, I don't know, man. It's kind of in my own way. And there's, I don't care about all the guys, but there's guys I care about in the locker room. But it's almost like, man, let's see what we can give them help. They're going to line up. They're going to run the ball. I like Kevin personally. I like Andrew personally. We talked about that. There's things I certainly disagree with and things I agree with. But I also look at it and go, hey, man, we got two first-round picks next year. We have an umpteen amount of different quarterbacks that people are going to be paying attention to in the first round next year. Like, there's a lot of fun to be had between now and next year's draft. And I know that means that people are going to be going, Ken, are we having fun on a Monday morning after the Browns got beat 30-7 by somebody? I know that. But I think that there is a possibility, like next year is the year, guys, you guys got to look at this the right way. Next year is the year where you guys get nervous because they're going to probably take a quarterback next year. And they're probably going to use that other first round pick because it never works out, very rarely, unless you're really aiming for it. They're not really aiming for it. The players are still too good. You're not probably going to get that first overall pick. So you're probably going to have to use both of them and move up. And so if you move up, now that's a lot of investment. And you're going to have to be nervous. Like next year is nut-cutting time, and I'm going to be going, okay, here's this quarterback. We're going to have to get this guy figured out. And we better hope that this guy does it because I can't sit here for another 4 years. Because now the guys who called me at night who were older and go, Ken, you don't understand. I didn't want to believe him because I was 25 and stupid then. Now I'm 38, not much smarter, but I've had a lot more experience, and I see it and I go, hey, man, we're starting to get a little bit closer to this. Like, my son's going to be 10 next month. By that time, he's going to be 14. By the time after that, like, who knows when we're going to get a quarterback there? We're talking about lost generations. I don't want to lose those guys. So next year is the pressure. This year, it's like, hey, Dylan Gabriel works out. He doesn't work out.
Yeah, that is true.
Works
that
out,
part,
great.
I'll meet you halfway.
That's all I'm asking.
But, you know, it's just weird when you don't truly have real expectations. And obviously, we know Vegas thinks you're terrible. Most fans around the league think you're going to be terrible this year. A lot of fans here in Cleveland think you're going to be really bad this year. I will say, you know, training camp's training camp, whatever. We've had guys that we thought dazzled in training camp that then we find out, oh, this is training camp. This doesn't look like real football at all. But preseason games, you know, that I'll be at the feast for that first preseason game like we are every year. And we'll be over there, one of the houses, Grandma Corky's, RIP, and we'll be watching the game and we'll be dialed in like we were for Johnny Manziel. We will.
That's what I'm looking forward to.
That will be, it'll be hard for me to get real worked up though if they're bad, because it's going to be like they're supposed to probably not be that good. Most third and fifth round picks are not good. They're at quarterbacks. They just aren't.
I get that. But I also, and you'll meet me halfway on this, is he a typical fifth round pick?
No, not at all.
Okay.
No, very different.
I have no idea about the third round. I'm not going to say anything about him in terms, I think he's a very intelligent young man. I think that he is an adult. We'll see what he's able to do. But also, it's going to be interesting to see how they divvy up these reps. And we'll have to talk to Mary Kay about that coming up on Thursday at 8:22, because it seems to be a very convoluted way with the way she wrote about it in the Cleveland Plain Dealer and Cleveland.com yesterday. Parity, is it good for the league? Set, we will have 7 champions in 7 years. We got to go quick on this, but go. Yeah. You say yes.
I think it can be.
The NBA, by the way, is that league.
I think it absolutely can be. Yeah, 7 different champions in 7 years. And now because of the new CBA, the second apron, the dreaded second apron, you're going to get that parity. It does seem like you could have new champions. And the NBA has never been a league where we would look in the playoffs and go, man, anybody can come out of these conferences. No matter where the good teams were that had the superstars, that had the top 5 players in the NBA, you'd be like, all right, they'll probably make it out, and we know who's going to be in the NBA Finals. I mean, for 4 years here, we knew it was going to be Golden State and Cleveland for the most part. So that stuff is gone. The NBA, that's always kind of been, I thought, what people loved about the NBA is that you'd see the best players play in June. Mm-hmm. Now that's not the case. I mean, the Knicks, their best player is Jalen Brunson, and you know, depending on what list you're looking at, top 15 player in the league, right? Even with some of the heroics in the playoffs. Tyrese Halliburton, if he makes it, is he even top 20? Out on the other side, all right, Shai Gilgeous-Alexander has been a top five player all year. He has been. We wondered if he could break through. And Minnesota, Anthony Edwards at his peak, you know, top six. So, which just means I think he's six. So it's been very different. It just is very different this year. And I'm telling you right now, if it's Indiana and Oklahoma City in the finals, which it could be, it 100% could be, or Indiana, Minnesota.
Yeah.
Get ready for the Clay Travis tweets about the NBA TV ratings. Just get ready. The ratings will be terrible. But as far as like a fan, I love it. I absolutely love that it is wide open, that more fan bases do believe they can actually get to the NBA Finals. That had never been the case. My whole life growing up, only about five teams a year thought they could really get to the finals. Now, this is going to open it up to the NFL-type parity where a lot more teams, even if it's not really true, a lot more teams are going to think they have a chance to get there.
But you're going
to
put me in that box that you love to put me in because I'm going to have to understand that Clay Travis is right about this because the ratings are what we base this on. I mean, because ratings is a estimate of general households that are interested in what you're doing.
Sure.
And I know that and by the way, you're the first person to say, I think ratings will probably be better because they're doing weird things with the ratings now because of what they're doing with streaming. Are we going to be able to stream the finals? Are they on ABC again? Oh, yeah. So I'm assuming you're going to be able to stream the finals. If they can get their stuff worked out with Disney Plus, I don't know. I can't get any 30 for 30s. You guys better get your act together before college football season or I'm going to lose my mind here. They'll be able to stream it. I bet they'll be a little bit better than you think because they seem to be better. These are always our record ratings now because we're adding in some of these streamers. But that's me being technical and not really assessing the point. The general purpose of things are to draw the most fans. And we still recognize and appreciate and romanticize dominance, dynasties. I think that this is going to be an issue maybe for college football to some degree. People don't want to admit it. They like having a chance to knock off Alabama. They get really mad when they don't and really when they get their you-know-what's knocked in the dirt. The same thing with Georgia. Now, I mean, do you have any faith that Ohio State's going to repeat as national champions? More than likely not. They got great players, but more than likely not. You know it's a very difficult thing. Last year, you know that team was loaded. They were hungry. Even after the loss to Michigan, you're going, man, something really special could happen here. And something special did happen. I think Texas might be that team this year. I have no faith that Texas would repeat. None. And I think that that might have an effect because people like dynasties in this country. They like the Lakers. They like the Celtics. They like the Yankees. I hate to say it. They like the Steelers from the 1970s on. Condoleezza Rice mentions the Browns were great. The Browns were a dynasty way back in the day. Some of the older fans, that's what got them on. I mean, this is something that we love here. And if you don't have a dynasty, a dynastic team that people are interested in to see whether or not David can beat Goliath or if they want to be the one rooting for the evil empire, yeah, I think it hurts the general interest in the game. Because if it's just all you guys just hanging out and doing God knows what, I think the only thing that could come of it is negative headlines.
But I noticed,
or perceived negative.
But the negative headlines just seem to follow the NBA no matter what they do. When it was the superstars joining up and creating these once in a lifetime teams, the NBA got crushed, right?
But
and Kevin Durant joining Steph Curry, basketball wise, what a magical combination! And then Draymond Green and Klay Thompson, like that. Will we ever see a team that has that much talent ever again? No, we're not. But yet that got dogged. But now we're going to dog this too. It just seems like whatever the NBA does. It just seems like the bigger narrative is we don't like the NBA. Well, if you don't like the NBA, that's fine. Then this isn't for you.
Well, the NBA has always been kind of third. And maybe up until now. Maybe up until this generation, maybe it's changed, and people are fighting that. But before, it was kind of always third. It was Major League Baseball, then football, then the NBA. Then it was football, then Major League Baseball, then the NBA. Now, I think that they're fighting for number two. And I think that there's some people who don't like that. There's definitely people who just don't like basketball. It's a winter indoor sport. It's more, even though anybody can play it, it's more exclusive at the pro level than anything else you're going to find. anything. I mean, there's great athletes. Well,
harder to make it into the league.
Well, I mean, Well, I mean, you and I have seen basketball, like charity basketball games and celebrity softball games over at Classic Park where some of these football players, they can't hit the broadside of a barn. They can't throw a baseball. They can't hit a baseball. But my God, they can still run a 4-4-40, and they can't even catch the ball, so we put them on defense. And so, but it's still an exclusivity thing to them. And I think it was different then. I think there was a jealousy. There was a jealousy there that they probably overworked to fix, but they fixed it. And now one of these teams are going to have to figure out a way to stay together. And maybe it still would have been Boston if it weren't for the injuries. Maybe they, I know they started out down 2-0. Maybe they would have came back and beat the Knicks with Jason Tatum. But we're not going to know that. And it's going to be 7 in a row. And I think people are going to be feeling differently about it. What time do you wake up?
Right now, about 4:30, 4:35.
Okay. I'm bring that up for a very specific reason here in a moment. Also, there's video of Nick Chubb working out, running the hills, and doing whatnot. You've seen this. You would like to comment on it. Go right on ahead. And his off-season, Nick Chubb's off-season tone.
Yeah.
What do you want to say about Nick Chubb?
I'm watching this video, and he is running angry.
Are we watching the same thing at the same time?
This is the Dove Kleinman. That's where I saw it. And I sent it to the group, and I saw a bunch of people said, I'm back in, Brown's made a mistake. And then there was an undercurrent of people talking about his size.
He looks big. I'm not saying he looks fat. Stop it. He looks like a linebacker. He looks like, did he put on even more muscle?
I don't know. That's the other thing. It's tough without the pads and without all that stuff.
Like, this guy looks like Lorenzo Neal right now. He moves a lot better than Lorenzo Neal still. No offense to Lorenzo Neal, who we've had on the show.
Does he rhyme as good as Lorenzo Neal?
Mm-mm. I bet not. I mean, this is Larry Vickers right here. This is a big guy.
Yeah, and he's cutting. He's trying to get upfield. Now, it's impossible for us to know because we don't see other videos of him without the pads.
Would he take a fullback role? 216?
Is he like
Natron mean?
Can you tell? Is he slower than in the past?
I did expect to see a little quicker. So, you know, I'm not being nasty here. It's been two injuries, one very obviously significant. I did expect him to be a little quicker when the video was posted. There's definitely some, like, you were in love. You immediately fell back in love. So if you want to bring him back,
well, we just hadn't seen him.
You know, I'm not against it.
You know, him just doing basically squatting and that stuff. You can't tell anything football wise out of that stuff.
Mm-mm.
Now you're actually seeing some football. Now no one's trying to tackle him. They're throwing these
bags at him and whatnot.
How can you tell if he looks fast enough though in these videos?
He's going up a hill.
He is going up a hill.
So I imagine if he was going down the hill, he'd look a hell of a lot faster than he does already. But if he's going on regular ground, I bet he'd look faster than this.
God, he looks like if you were standing in his way by accident and he just kind of knocked into you,
he tried to
hurt you, yeah. It looks like you would be hurt.
He's a big, strong man. Good head on his
shoulders. This would be terrifying seeing him come at you.
So him going uphill, I mean, there's some stupidity in the comments about him being cooked and things like that. I don't think that. He's dealt with serious injuries in his late 20s.
That actually looked kind of bad. He's moving like he's too full.
I didn't want
them cuts a little slower.
Well, they wrote that he was hungry. He looks hungry. That's why they wrote that he was too full, this person.
He looks terrible. Looks slow, unfortunately.
He doesn't look terrible.
This is better than them Zeke videos. This did not look appealing. He also looks out of work, hungry for a paycheck.
Okay, stop it.
He cooked, bro. He moving slow.
Well, stop reading stupidity on the internet.
All right.
Thank you. Also on the internet.
He is favoring his injured knee.
So you wake up at... who the hell said that? How the hell do they know that?
It's right there. Lenny Pettierno, 79 or bust.
Play this. This is from Shiloh Sanders' podcast. This is Deion Sanders. You wake up at 4:30, right?
Yeah.
I wake up at 3:10. What time did you wake up this morning, Owen?
3:37.
Each of us, if we were in shape... Deion Sanders would hang out with us, and we could play for Deion Sanders. But if you just woke up, I'm sorry, he has no use for you.
If your man sleeps past 7 a.m., leave him.
You said leave him?
Leave him. Unless he's on the night shift. Any man who sleeps after 7 is not a man.
Whoa. I wake up every day at 7 now.
He's supposed to wake up at 6. Talking about a rapper's life. You're trying to live a rapper's life. I'm the one that wake the rooster up to remind him to say cock-a-doodle-doo.
You're trying to live a rapper's life.
They are always talking about that in their rap lyrics. About it's 7 a.m. and I'm just getting out of bed.
So that's late to them?
I will say, the older I have gotten.
That's what the Kendrick and Drake thing was all about.
Yeah, the what time they hit their alarm clock. Their old cartoon-like alarm clock. So with all the Mickey Mouse-looking alarm clock. So I will say that before this job, I didn't get up till 9, 9:30, 10.
Yeah, but I gotta be careful I say this. No woman would have you then.
That's true. And I was watching NBA till 2 in the morning and all that and doing God knows what.
The things you were doing till 2 in the morning. In and on the shift.
Yeah, but, might have been an NBA game on in the background, but you were doing other things. Don't sit there and say you were watching NBA.
I have to say, the more and more people I've gotten a chance to talk to as I've matured and gotten older, Dion is absolutely right. There aren't many successful people in this world that are waking up late. It's just not happening. They're maximizing their day. They're getting the most, whether it's working out. I cannot believe how many people, when I'm leaving to come here, are already running outside, are already getting their runs in. It's staggering to me how many people optimize their day with workouts starting at 5, 4:30 or 5. There's a
CrossFit place that I pass every day. They're and awful. If I'm late, they are all, there's a line of them.
Yes.
Running down and back.
And I just
flipping tires.
I know you guys know somebody in crypto who's making money. It wakes up at noon every day. Okay. I think that's more the anomaly. The more successful people I've met in life, and if that's what you're going for, meaning.
What about Winston Churchill? Yeah. He woke up at 10:30.
Did he really?
And then he had a scotch.
Yeah. And then he drank whiskey. Just thinking, just telling you. Mm-hmm. Smoked a bunch of cigars.
And he got into a bath and had another scotch.
Yeah, they had more drinks.
You know what? That's when they were dealing with all plumbers back then.
But that is...
Competition fair. Wasn't as stiff.
That is one. That is one that you can think of off the top of your head.
Out of how many? For breakfast and a scotch.
Current president sleeps 4 hours a night.
Yeah,
wakes up at 5, something like that.
And you believe it because he's watching the news. Yeah. He's tweeting about it.
He's posting on social media.
I 100% believe that. Now, does it have to be Mark Wahlberg? Does it have to be 4?
I don't believe it.
3 a.m.?
I don't believe him. I just don't believe Mark Wahlberg.
Or who's the guy? Who's the guy that ran a marathon a day or something? Go on Rogan.
If you...
That total freak. That guy was unbelievable.
John Telich?
Yeah, that's it. Hold on. Mitch just had it.
Who was David Goggins?
Or, JT, John Telich. Yeah, it's Goggins, though. You don't have to do that. That's a little drastic.
I feel if you brag about your schedule, I don't necessarily believe your schedule.
Yeah, do you think you're more prone to lying?
The guy who says, I actually live 4 days every day. I wake up and it's 6 a.m. That's a new day.
Like the person who has entrepreneur in their title, in their bio, and talks about how they wake up, time to rise and grind and all that stuff. I go, yeah, you're running something there. There's something in the form of a triangle that I don't necessarily believe in what you're doing. Some may call it a pyramid.